This podcast is brought to you by the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania.
The tech sector is obviously important as we become a more digital economy, but it's also a sector that has drawn criticism from not being inclusive enough and having opportunities for women and African Americans, to say the least. The same can be said around the realm of entrepreneurship, but the hope is that there is starting to be a change with a greater focus on diversity and inclusion within these businesses. One person who's looking to help change that pattern is our next guest, Solomon Ali. He is the CEO of Revolutionary Concepts, who is also an innovator and patent holder for technology behind smart home tech like Ring, Skybell, Doorbird, and many others. Solomon, great to have you with us today. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Dan. How are you? I'm so pleased to be here and share my journey with you and your audience.
Thank you, sir. Great to have you with us. So as you look at the landscape within entrepreneurship for African-Americans and Latinos right now, how do you view it and what needs to improve moving forward, both in the short and long term?
Well, Dan, I strongly believe that the things that we are suffering from is a lack of capital, having access to capital. My team and I put together a company called Minority Business Access that kind of our way of giving back so that people don't have to go through years of stumbling and bumbling and trying to figure out how do I get access to capital? What are the venture capital companies looking for? What are the private equity companies looking for? How can I be like an Amazon and go 14 years and lose money but still get access to capital to keep paying for my operations and paying my employees right, so they become the companies they are today? So we try to share that information with everyone and what the journey is. And that journey is pretty much people that look like me don't get access to capital. Sometimes not just because they're not deserving, but sometimes it's just that we don't understand what it is that the other side is looking for. We don't understand that the risk that they are taking, because they're not backed by government funding. These right. are entrepreneurs themselves who are putting up their own money and putting it at risk. So we need to take a closer look at what it is that they need. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
A lot of white Americans grow up and families that own businesses. There's over 5 million businesses in the United States with 10 employees or more. Most of them are all white companies, okay? So they grow up having a platform and having access and understanding of what it is that it takes to attract money, where the money comes from, why the money is willing to lend it to them, what they have to give up, what percentages of their company, what type of collateral, things of that nature they have to give up. Well, there's only 140,000 companies in the United States that are black-owned with 10 employees, okay, right, or more. So that narrows it down to the awareness and the knowledge that we have that that's all that actually exists, okay? So when you think about companies typically hire those who look like them because they're just a little bit more comfortable, the same with having access to capital, okay? We tend to loan money out to people who look like us, who we are more comfortable with. Yep. And so we want to try to demystify that. There is no mystery to getting capital. It is a journey, but there's some basic principles that you have to understand and try to help and share that with people.
So what was the process like for you getting started as an entrepreneur and being able to find that avenue to find capital? And obviously, the security industry, which has kind of been part of your focus, is a unique one. And I'd like to know how that all kind of fit into the process.
Well, I'm 57 years old, about to be 57 years old. It's been a 34-year journey. I started when I was very young. When I started right out the military, I came home in the mid-80s. I couldn't find a job, and so I had to create a job. And in creating a job, I started doing maintenance, cleaning apartments, and painting them and everything of that nature, and then I hired a bunch of employees. I share this because I didn't understand what accounts receivables were. I didn't understand once you have provided and done the work and they owe you the money, that that was a source of currency. And so I had to call through the LA Times newspaper and find everyone that was talking about accounts receivables or they make you loans and things of that nature. And I had no clue of what it was. And so a gentleman on the phone was kind enough from Orange County to explain and educate me and persuade me to come down and that he would be able to help me. And I had to sell off my accounts receivables. And he gave me $300,000+ out of the $500,000 what my accounts receivables were worth. So that was the beginning for me. Someone helped me. It was a white gentleman. He helped me. He showed me what it was and worked with me for many years after that. And then I went into investment banking. And so I began to learn and understand why some people get capital and some people don't. After the crash of 2008, I started a private equity company with $250. Within 12 months, we were loaning out $3, $4 million within 12 months. Wow. And that's pretty phenomenal. And I was loaning that money out to people who look like me. And I start to realize that they didn't understand the cost of money. They didn't understand the sacrifice and the things that they needed to do with the money. So we created Minority Business Access to begin to teach and educate people like, hey, if you go and you're going to put a plan together, you have to take the money right. and grow the business and the operation. You can't take the money and pay your previous bills and obligations or your previous mistakes. You have to pay that out of the profits that are generated from growing the business and making it more profitable.
Well,
otherwise, you find yourself in the same situation.
You know, Solomon,
so
one of the things you just brought up is an important component is the education piece. And it becomes an element that we don't see enough of it in our education system to begin with. And so it ends up being something that, as you kind of learned, that you pick up as you go along the way. You'd love to be able to see it be the other way around and see it more in the education process, but we just don't have the setup in our education right now to be able to have more financial literacy and education around investment.
And that's correct. Education is extremely important. When we look at education from the standpoint, it's not taught in school. It doesn't matter what school you go to, what degrees you hold or things of that nature, because if that was the case, we would have more successful entrepreneurs. We would have more businesses that are successful. That's not the case. The case is it's based on experience.
Yeah.
It's based on each individual's grit, their ability to go after it, keep getting up when they get knocked down. Because let's be honest, it's challenging for my white partners that are entrepreneurs as well. But they also have a different role than I have. My challenges are a lot greater because when people look at me, the first thing they want to do is not write a check, but put their checkbook up, okay?
Right. Yeah.
And they're not ready to say, hey, we're willing to write you a check for this idea. We believe in it. And sometimes we have to understand that, hey, if that's our plight, that's our plight.
Sure. Yeah.
But people are getting to understand today that, look, we have more African-American women graduating from college at record numbers, outpacing blacks, whites, and others. They're starting more businesses. So we're starting to get more information thanks to technology. And we're having access to more information, but we're still being left the least amount of money. And unfortunately, the only way that changes is like, you know, we got a company, my consulting company, Solomon RCLE Corporation. What we do is we believe in the ABCs. We help to arrange capital so that people can have access to capital.
Right.
What do they need to do so that they can go to the banks, get capital? We partner with them so that they can buy companies, so that they can scale their businesses. So we help to bring access to the capital markets. We also help them to build wealth. Investors who are like, look, I got a great job, I got great income, but I just want to build wealth. I want to invest in emerging markets. I want to invest in some of these early stage companies.
Correct.
That
yeah.
Because I'm an accredited investor, I'm denied the ability to invest in them in the early stages and make the huge return. So we show them how that they are able to invest in those companies in the early stages. And then we just consult. We consult both entrepreneurs as well as people who just want to accumulate wealth. One of the things that I've been accused of making stocks go up 30,000, 40,000%.
Right, right.
And create a lot of wealth for people.
Solomon,
that being said,
Solomon, thank you very much for your time. I have to end it there, but great to have you on the show. And thank you very much for your insight, sir. All the best.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Thank you. Salman Ali, CEO of Revolutionary Concepts.
To keep engaged with Wharton Business Daily and other Wharton School shows, visit businessradio.wharton.upenn.edu.